19. Genesis chapter 19. Our text this morning is verse 24 through 29. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. I've been calling this one of the ugliest records in Scripture. Just nothing pretty about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing pretty about the life of Lot, who was a just man, a saved man, and the mess that he got his life into, and the high price that he paid for having his life be such a mess. Today we come in these verses finally to the end of the story directly concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. The ending of this chapter deals with Lot, the sin of Lot after Sodom and Gomorrah, and the sin of his daughters, and the consequences of it. But our text brings us to the conclusion of God's pouring out his judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, verse number 24 teaches us. And this fire and this brimstone came out of heaven. Obviously, it was from the Lord. By the use of the word rained, it's obviously coming from above. And he poured out his judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah from above. I don't know specifically what it means out of heaven, if these judgments came directly from that eternal abode of God, or if it means just from above. But I do know it means it's from God. It's from God. And God overthrew those cities and those plains and those inhabitants and every green thing that grew upon the earth. This is a terrible picture to try to envision. They were told to get out, and they were told not to look back. Lot and his family were told not to look behind them. But Lot's wife looked back. Did God mean what he meant, what he said? Did God carry out any judgment upon Lot's wife for her looking back? Yes, he certainly did. She became a pillar of salt. And Abraham, being led of the Lord, out of curiosity, for whatever reason, Abraham goes, he goes back to the place where he had met with God, had pleaded for mercy for Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes back to see. To see the judgment of God as it was poured out upon these cities. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. I have been reminded, or I have been instructed, that when God speaks about Sodom in the context of chapter 19 and chapter 18, he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes he just says Sodom, but he's talking about this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. I have learned and I have been instructed that when he's speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah, he's also talking about other cities, cities that were round about the plain. It's like cities today, Toledo, Detroit, New York. When you talk about a city or a couple cities, there might be a dozen other cities round about there. And I have been instructed and I have been reminded that when the Lord destroyed Sodom, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities round about them. And he destroyed all the inhabitants of these places. So there were multiple cities with multiple populations. And I have seen that God destroyed all of them. And even uniquely today in our text, it tells us that God destroyed everything that grew upon the ground in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about and the places where all these inhabitants dwell. This is a overwhelming destruction sent by God. And I see in this passage of Scripture three things. Three points that I want to make by the grace of God, and I ask God to help me. And I ask you to pray that God would help me. Because there's three main points that I see in this passage of Scripture that I want to bring out that are horrible and yet truth. Horrific to consider, but reality. Things that we see in this passage of Scripture that are here for our learning, and the point that God would have us to make, that these things are going to occur again. And we're living in the days preceding these things happening again. I see in this passage of Scripture the reality of Judgment Day. God took a trip with a couple angels to go toward Sodom and Gomorrah. On the way, he stopped by to see Abraham. He has to tell Abraham, his friend, what he's going to do as he moves to carry out this judgment. He tells Abraham what he's going to do, and there are several times in these verses that we've been reading where God reminds, or the angels remind us, that judgment was coming. There was a judgment day that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to face. They may not have realized it. They may not have believed it. The family of Lot may not have received it. Lot may have delayed, but judgment was coming. And God made that very plain. God made it very plain. In verse 23, says, the sun was risen upon the earth, so must be daytime. It was daytime when Lot entered into Zoar. Verse 24, what's the first word? Then. Then. That speaks of the judgment day. Then judgment came. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God had been warning, just like he did in the days of Noah and the great flood. God warned judgment was coming. Noah preached for 120 years that judgment was coming. We're living in the days in the New Testament realm where God has been warning and warning and warning that judgment is coming, the judgment day is coming, and God's people fiddle-faddle around and refuse to believe it. The lost will not receive it, and we go on our merry way as though it's never going to happen. But just as assuredly as it happened with Sodom and Gomorrah and upon the effects of Lot's family, it's going to happen in our day and time. And man's going to see it. It's going to be upon this earth. And we'd better wake up and we'd better be prepared for the judgment day. It's coming. It's not very palatable. It's not very acceptable. It's not very pleasable. So preachers don't preach it anymore. But because preachers are negligent doesn't change the fact that judgment day is coming. None will escape it. Everyone here within the sound of my voice, there's a judgment day in your future. Do you understand that? Do you refuse to believe that? Well, you may not understand it and you may refuse to believe it, but judgment is coming. God help you to accept it before it is eternally too late. It's going to one day be too late. And when judgment day came for Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities and the inhabitants thereof, and even of the things that grew up on the ground, when judgment came, it was too late for revival. It was too late for confession. It was too late for getting right. It was too late saying, okay, God, I've given this a second thought, and so I want to accept your offer. When judgment comes, it's too late. There's coming a time when the judgment day is going to come and it'll be too late. To the one says, one of these days I'm going to get around to it. One of these days I'm going to believe. One of these days I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You may one of these days yourself right into eternity and find yourself experience the judgment of God and not be able to reverse and go back. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to prepare for the judgment. Today is when you should prepare, because when it happens, there'll be no time for preparation then. God gave warning after warning, as he always does, that judgment was coming. 2025, he's given warning after warning. God's preachers have been preaching. God's churches, his true churches, have been faithful to be looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. But many do not take it serious. Many do not take it serious. In verse number 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. When judgment day came, it had an eternal effect upon the lost. An eternal effect upon the lost. If you're here and you're lost, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and by that I mean you do not know, K-N-O-W, you do not know Jesus died for your sins. If you're here and you're lost, there's a judgment coming. And you're going to lose everything if you're not prepared. So there was a great effect upon all of the inhabitants. But we read throughout this passage of Scripture about the consequences of Lot's sin. And we read here when the judgment day came that his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. When judgment day came, it didn't just affect all the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, but when judgment day came, it also affected God's people. We sit around on our eternal security blankets and pillows, comfortable. Oh, we're eternally saved. We don't have anything to fear. Well, there is a judgment coming called the judgment seat of Christ, in which God's people, the saved, are going to give an account. There's a judgment day coming not just for the lost world, but there's a judgment day coming for you and for me, Christian friend. And we ought to fear God, and we ought to fear that moment, and we ought to be preparing ourselves for that time. We ought to be living our lives as though it was going to be tomorrow, because one of these tomorrows, it's going to come. And just as surely as a lost person at that day's judgment will not be able to go back and change their mind or course, when we're taken to face the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be no going back and making any changes. People talk and they talk and they talk about, well, the Bible says there will be tears in heaven. And they want to jump to the point, well, tears of joy. Going to be tears of joy. Well, it just might be those tears in heaven are shed by God's people over their sin, over their lost lives, after their lost reputations, after finding that they've been taken up to be with the Lord and there is no more time for a second chance. Oh, yeah, they're saved and they're secure, but their life was lost. I think there's going to be some crying that day. Tears of regret. As you think about, if you're saved, that judgment coming, you going up, you're going to be reminded how true is the scriptures that says the lost are going to be left. And the lost are one day going to open their eyes in a place called hell. It just might be God makes that real to you in your day of judgment, my Christian friend. Just might be that he reminds you that that loved one you never told about Jesus, that friend you didn't have any time to tell about Jesus, their lot is eternally set. Yeah, you're in the presence of the Lord, but you never witnessed to them, so most likely they're going to hell. That doesn't even cause a tear to come to your eye sitting here in the Lord's house. We're so comfortable. We hear over and over again God's promise of judgment, judging of sin, the consequences, and it being unavoidable. God keeps his word, but we're not moved. We're not moved at all by the fact that judgment day is going to come. There's a judgment day coming for the lost, and they will hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And there's going to come a judgment seat of Christ for Christians, in which we will receive our rewards or our loss of rewards according to the things done in the flesh. And so many Christians who, just like the lost, procrastinate and they bank on tomorrow, one of these days. and they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and those days are all gone and those opportunities are all gone, so many Christians are going to stand before the Lord with empty hands. Empty hands. We see in this passage of Scripture, Abraham going back to that place. The Lord and those two angels had appeared to him. They stayed with him, fellowship with him. Then they began their journey onward. God had revealed to Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham walks out with them to a point where it seems as though he could see the plains and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pleads with God to have mercy. And he says, if there's 50, if there's 45, if there's 40, I think they went all the way down to 10, didn't they? Will you spare the city? Of course, there wasn't going to be 10 found. The judgment of God came. And Abraham went back out to that place. And he beholds the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's like he's looking into hell. He's looking into hell. He's seeing the place of judgment. He's seeing the place of death. He's seeing that smoke rise up. He's seeing that place that God has sent, that fire and that brimstone, which are always signposts or signals that we're talking about. There is a real hell. And it's not a fun place or a joyous place. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of eternal suffering. And it burns with fire and brimstone. Brimstone seems to refer to sulfur, a nasty smelling sulfur. And Abraham went out to that place where he had pleaded with God to spare the city if there was 10. He sees the judgment of God. He looks upon that terrible place called hell, a place like hell, where God pour out his wrath and judgment upon all of those for their wickedness. Hell, fire, and brimstone. There's not much preaching along those lines these days. Hell, fire, and brimstone. That's not acceptable. That's not palatable. Just those old dead-in-the-wood preachers still preach that. Those old churches that still believe what the Bible says, they're the only ones who believe that. But they don't even talk about it. But hell, fire, and brimstone is a reality. And I have to say, before I forget, hell is not a place of partying. Hell is not a place about being with your friends. Hell is not a place where you can do what you want. Hell is not a place where you can just have fun. Hell is about suffering and torment and the judgment of God and the eternal consequences of one's sin. Eternal consequences of one's sin. There's not one little thing about hell that's pleasing or appetizing or cause you to want to smile. It's a horrible place. And he looks upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people that have been destroyed there and the smoke rising up and the fire and the brimstone and probably even could smell that terrible smell of sulfur, that terrible smell of death, burning flesh. And he reminds us that hell is real. And we need to preach not less. We need to preach more on this reality. Will some of your children open their eyes in a place called hell? Will you one day be taken to be with the Lord, knowing when you're taken to be with the Lord that you had lost children that are left behind? Will there be tears from our eyes when the Lord brings these realities to us? Can you shed a tear this morning at the thought of the reality of hell? And that there may be people seated all around you that are one day going to open their eyes being in torment? Can you be moved? Are you sitting out there saying, I wish you just wouldn't talk about it? Well, that's what they thought in Lot's day. And the consequences came. And Abraham looked into this horrible vision. This horrible vision. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Talking about destruction and judgment. Principally upon false teachers and preachers and those who don't preach the truth, who don't preach on things such as this. Maybe who preach a social gospel, smile, God loves you. You got nothing to worry about. Don't pay attention to that guy. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, verse 4, delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. He spared not the old world before the flood, but saved Noah, the eighth person, Noah and his family, who was a preacher of righteousness. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You get that? He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He condemned them, showed them guilty when judgment day came. He overthrew them. He made them an example unto all of those afterwards that should live ungodly. Are you learning anything? Will you learn anything? Can you learn anything today from what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone, death and destruction. He delivered just Lot. Saved Lot. Saved Lot. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Burning with brimstone. Chapter 20. Verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, for the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Chapter 21, verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a list. That's basically talking about the lost. All the lost will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. These things are true. You may be sitting here today thinking, well, I didn't know that church believed in that. Like I said a couple Sundays ago, we have to believe it. It's in the book. God's word is truth. God's word is breathed by God. No mixture of error. These things we read about in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and in the days of Lot and his sin, they really did happen. And they happened because of God's judging of the sin of those horrific places, horrible places. And God appointed a judgment day. And that judgment day came. And Abraham went out and he looked at those cities and nothing was left. I think about California. Have you seen any of the pictures, any of the recordings of what has been happening in California right now? These great fires broke out. Winds got up to maybe 80 plus miles an hour. And whole cities and whole neighborhoods were devoured. And man went with his camera and his news reports to show the after effects. It wasn't pretty, was it? It was real, though. Wasn't that long ago, a like situation broke out on one of the islands of Hawaii. Many people died. Whole town destroyed by those sweeping wildfires. Where else have we seen stories of these sweeping wildfires and the looking over it afterwards? Abraham is looking upon a vision of hell. He's seeing what they looked like after the judgment of God fell. And these things were told, and we just read from Peter. They were written for us an example and sample that all those who live ungodly afterwards might learn not to, to get right. This preacher, this church, we do not preach these things to scare anybody. We do not preach any of these things in hoping that we'll shake you to do something. We preach these things because we're commanded to preach these things. We preach these things because God has always, always, always warned people beforehand that the judgment was coming. He has been warning for many thousands of years now since Christ was here. Judgment is coming. He has been over and over again reminding us that hell is real. And the reality is, everybody here is going to spend eternity in one of two places. There's no third options. You're going to spend eternity either in heaven, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're going to spend eternity in hell because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not to scare anybody. That's to hold up before you the reality of these things. Judgment is coming. Hell is real. Will you find yourself suffering forever for your sins? Or will you receive Jesus Christ and rejoice in the suffering that he experienced for your sins. Verse number 29, and the remnant were slain upon... Yep, I'm still in Revelation. Verse 29 of our text, and it came to pass... Now listen here. Who will we give credit to all this? Who's done all of this? Okay, you want somebody to blame. Well, okay, who are you going to blame for all this horror? And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities into which Lot dwelt. Verse 24, then the Lord, Jehovah, that's the name there in verse number 24, L-O-R-D. Then Jehovah, the Lord, rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God destroyed these cities. God rained down upon them. You might not like a God like that. You may be offended at a God like that. You may be even stubborn enough to say, I'll never believe in a God like that. But that doesn't change anything. It is still God that did this. And it is still God that's going to bring judgment day one day soon. It is still God that's going to cast unbelievers into hell forever. Whether we like it or not, accept it or not, or can fathom it or not. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Seems like I always end up here. It won't be much longer, just endure. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Well, if you got a red letter Bible, and most people do, if they have a Bible, these words are in red, indicating for us that Jesus is speaking, directly speaking himself. Verse 28, Jesus says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Don't be afraid of the one who can kill your body, because that's just temporal. Fear the one who can kill your soul. That's eternal. That's forever. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus Christ is talking about Almighty God. That's who we ought to fear. The beginning of fear is wisdom. Or fear is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 11. I've been quoting this, and I don't know if anybody really believed it was true. But I want to read here in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee, listen now, if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. If Sodom had had the things done there that are done in these cities, and they rejected Christ and would not believe. Christ alludes to the fact that they may have been saved. They may have still been in existence. They may have been brought to repentance. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. More tolerable for the cities of Christ's time that reject Christ. There's a more severe judgment facing many in the day and time in which we live, because opportunity has been given, Christ has been preached, souls have been called to believe. We've got the Bible everywhere you look. We're without excuse, but that makes us more accountable. And it'll be more horrific for those who die in light of all these advantages than even for Sodom and Gomorrah. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Verse 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Judgment is coming. Hear the message. Judgment is coming. Judgment day is coming. There's a judgment day for all the lost who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's a judgment for all the saved. The judgment seat of Christ. There's a judgment day. Many will come to that day and find themselves cast into hell forever. And God is the one who is in control of all these things, whether you like it or not. God is going to one day judge sin. God is one day going to sentence those who have rejected his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to cast them into the lake of fire forever and ever to suffer for their sins. And God will be honored and God will be glorified and God will be just in all of this. Back in our text of Genesis, verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Judgment day is coming. Everyone is going to face a judgment day. When that judgment day comes for the lost and those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to open their eyes in a place called hell, being in torment. And God is the one who's in control of all these things. And we don't say these things to scare you. We don't say these things to hurt your feelings. We don't say these things to anybody to drive you away. We say these things because they're truth. And we cry out to you as they did here in verse 17. Escape for thy life. Judgment is coming. Hell is real. God is going to hold all sinners accountable for their sins. And God is going to hold even his people accountable for their lack of serving him properly. Oh, my friend, escape for thy life. God tells us these things, and I know this is humanistic and maybe a soft way of putting it, but God tells us these things because he doesn't want anybody to die and face this kind of an eternity. I know he's in control and sovereign, all those things are so. The rich man, he died, leaving all of his wealth behind him. He opened his eyes. Where am I? You're in hell. He didn't say, oh, good, go and tell all my friends to come on down. We're going to have a good time. No, he opened his eyes, being in torment, suffering, and anguish. And he said, oh, Abraham, go and tell my brethren not to come to this place. I say to you with all that I can and all that I have, if it's the last breath I have, don't go to this place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved, oh, today. Because judgment day is going to come and you'll not avoid it. Hell is real. And all those who know not Christ are going to go there. You must repent. You must believe. You don't have to like a God or understand a God can do these things, but God in his word shows us that he will, and he's going to, and he has. To be a just and a holy and a righteous God, he has to keep his word. To be a just and holy and righteous God, he has to do what he says he's going to do. If he has said judgment is coming and hell is real, if he has said those things, it's coming. It came to Sodom and Gomorrah. In the words of the old tract, I can see it in my mind right now. It was gray and pink with wording on it. Ask the question. Where will you spend eternity? Let's stand.